This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Caring is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name.
There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and wondering what color her farts are co-host, Monica. Hi, Moni.
Hi, Amanda. I feel you can't drop this question without people knowing the context of the conversation. So I would just like to explain a little bit why I wonder what color my fart has. I mean, besides brown when it lands in the underpants. No, but that was just a stupid joke. They're not brown. A wonderful friend of ours, Charlie, who is regularly in our Twitch chat, has synesthesia, or is able to synthesize. That's not what how you say it, but is it a condition? Do you have it? Or, I don't know. Anyway, synesthesia. This is the condition, seems like it's a problem, but it seems to be pretty epic. When you can see sounds or other things, or there are like different variations, but in Charlie's case, Charlie sees color based on the sound of things. And because we, as usual, talk about farts before we started the conversation, Charlie was like, he can actually see the color of the sound of farts. So that's what we were wondering. That's why we were both wondering, actually, what color our fart is, audio-wise. You know? I know that the M in Monica is orange, which it then kind of overshadows the rest of my name, apparently. So I know I'm orange.
Well, that's cool. Charlie, what color is my name?
Yeah. We had the conversation just recently. Exactly. On today, on totally normal things to wonder about. I think that is totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
That because it's just something that is so fascinating in general to have explained so much about you and why you're so fucking talented as an artist as well. Mm-hmm. But like in general, how does that even work in life? Do you just walk around in life and suddenly everything has color? It's just so fascinating.
Yeah. And my name, for anybody wondering, is very red because of the many A's. Thank you very much, Charlie. That's so cool. That's really interesting.
So that means we kind of need to switch the screen on our overlay because you are orange and I am red. And it's pretty hilarious that we chose those two colors now.
It is. We should. We could. But then I wonder, would the M in Monica be able to be seen with the orange background?
I mean, it's probably generally hard to see because... Yes, Charlie says yes. Okay.
Just curious. But we're not here to talk about seeing our farts.
I mean,
though that's
yes,
kind of
but, yeah.
Part of the conversation.
Okay, and Charlie can still see that the letters are written in white. This is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. But yes, go ahead, Amanda.
Okay. We're talking about self-care. Self-care for geeks. Self-care for everyone.
Yes.
Geeky self-care. Yeah. All the things. Self-care and geekiness and... everything that comes in between it all.
When I was checking what topic we're going to talk about today in our wonderful Trello board, I was like, huh, I don't remember that we talked about this. Then Amanda told me that actually was my idea. But I don't remember why I had that intention, why I brought this up. And so it's all a bit awkward right now. But I think it's still a very fitting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a fitting conversation, let's be honest. We're living
it
through
is.
The freaking pandemic still, so...
Mm-hmm. But I think it's even more relevant because of the decisions that we've made over the last week for, like, mm-hmm. going forward with Geek Caring and everything. So even though we planned this episode 2 months ago, a month ago...
Must have been something like this.
Something like that. It's just come at such a relevant time. It's a little bit creepy.
It is a bit creepy.
But that's kind of my life. That's a little creepy that it worked out like that. Mm-hmm, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, in essence, an explanation, what, again, we were referencing to, because if you're listening to the podcast, you might not know. We had a pretty tight, kind of 5 to 6 days a week streaming schedule with the podcast recording and the streaming and all of that at the Geek Caring channel. And now we decided, less is more.
Yeah.
And we dialed back a bit. And going forward, we will not do things so regularly anymore because we decided that quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. And just not having the spoons to keep it up, keep up the schedule and the pressure and just keep it up and be on all the time.
I mean, it's been a long fucking year.
Has been.
So, yeah, and that was our baseline decision towards all of that. Also, in order to honor our own mental health.
Yeah.
Based on how much is left for everyone there.
Exactly. I mean, I think that this all kind of started because I messaged you and Tom, and I was like, I need to change my schedule. I can't keep up with this, and it's going to impact you both. So let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, between, you know, Geek Herring, being on, like, being there for Tom's streams and having D&D all starting at 7 o'clock 6 days a week and lasting until, like, 10, 11 o'clock at night after working from, like, 9 to 5 on the computer, I was just like, I literally can't do this. Like, I can't sit at the computer all day, every day for this many hours. I physically can't do it because... I also didn't have very good boundaries for myself. And I was just like, yep, something's got to change. And let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we did.
Yeah. And we changed it. And I think, like, for me, that change in my schedule and me actually sitting down and, like, time blocking so that I know, like, between this time and this time is when I work on client work. And if it comes to, say, 5 o'clock and I'm not done with the client work, then... tough shit to me because now I'm gonna have to rush to get it done tomorrow because that's me done, for example. And like having those kind of set hours is actually kicking me up the butt to make me finish my work in them instead of prolonging it and like being like, oh, something that should take me an hour is actually taking me 8 hours to do because I haven't set myself a deadline. And it's been 2 days with the new schedule and it's good.
Been 2 days with a new schedule. I mean,
but
2 days
is better
than no days.
Yeah. And I like genuinely feel a lot better for it already because I'm like, okay, well, I know that this is the time I'm working. This is the time I'm doing this. It's just having that like structure and that schedule is really important for me. I just need to stick to it because I know it's good for my mental health. And I know that having routine is where I thrive and I always have. And by not having routine, I was like really shooting myself in the foot and just stressing myself out, even though it's not like you think like, oh, no structure. That's amazing. That sounds great. And I'm like, no. I just wanted to see how long I could do that before Monty laughed.
I was trying to keep you going for as long as you can, but then I still had to laugh and then you stopped. So I was like, okay, that stopped her. Now I wanted to see how far you can actually go. Yeah, I mean, that's a general assumption of, and I feel that's, and we know that for a very long time because we've been working online for such a long time. And people now with the pandemic, 1.5 years in, I think a lot of people noticed that. And we all started off like that, right? It was like, yay, this is the best thing ever. You can get up when you want and you can not live out of your pajama all day. And this is amazing. You can work in the bed. You can work on the couch. You can work wherever. And you can just have it all like smooth and whatever shit. And then after a while, like after 2 or 3 months, you're starting to think like, well, maybe it is kind of gross that you like stay in the pajama all day, and maybe it would be great to not work from the couch and like slouch around. And I mean, not that you can't slouch on a desk. I mean,
yeah, the queen is slouching on the desk.
I'm the queen of slouching in general, but especially also on the desk. So it's not that, but it's a different kind of slouching for sure. And also different kind of seriousness, whether or not you, well, you do that or you don't. And yeah, I mean, what you've been talking about is basically my life since last year, because we've started to stream in May, and then you can't spell slouch without ouch, Tom says.
True.
Because yeah, the pandemic hit, I personally got so much more, like, I already had a lot of work, and then I took on so much more work, and then we started the streaming situation, and then I just kept up the entire streaming all through last year with the schedule that we already had. And in addition,
and then added 2 more days.
Well, I was generally, the days that I had were the ones that I have like for good, not only this starting this year, but it happened, like it started last year already, so my schedule has been like that for a very long time. But yeah, and I'm still like the queen of no boundaries. Mm-hmm. But in that regard, I feel I started to defocus, like to not focus when I stream as something that is something that I need to do. But because I don't necessarily, I don't do anything at all for self-care. And I started to see the time that I stream as something that is related, that is kind of self-care for me, because I wouldn't take the time out of my day to do something for me. So, which also means that I would hardly ever play any games, because I wake up at like 6:30 or something. Then I get out of bed, I immediately start to work. I work until the late evenings and wonder where my time is gone. And then I go from the desk to the bed, and that is basically my life for the last year and a whatever, half or whatever. So then deciding, okay, Sunday evening or Sunday morning or whatever is the day that I stream, and then Friday morning is the other day that I stream, and those are the days where I do something that I enjoy, which I otherwise wouldn't have done. Those 2 days where I at least do some small bit of something that I like. And that's why I always thought that people say it's like playing video games or doing something other than, I don't know, whatever is deemed worthy from the society, which is not necessarily whatever it is that us geeks are doing, because like there is like this things that people approve of, and then things that the society deems worthless, and playing video games is definitely one of those, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that I do take that time to do something that I enjoy definitely helped me also through the year that is otherwise all full of work and full of crazy, whatever, hardcore, like pouring my life out into work, basically. So, and that's why I think we always underestimate what it does to people when they actually do practice or do some kind of stuff that they do enjoy, and how important it is for general well-being and mental health to have stuff like that. And I think that's the essence why I thought the topic would be great like months ago or something, but could only think about that now.
Yeah, no, I think that that's really true. And it is for me as well, because like if I'm not streaming a game, I'm probably not playing a game unless it's Hearthstone. Like I'm the same. Like I haven't given myself any time to just sit down and relax with a game. And they are relaxing, or they can be, depending on the game. Hello, Phasmophobia, looking at you.
But that's a different kind of thing. That's like mostly like the, and I know people should be terrified of the game, but whenever I saw someone play Phasmophobia or played Phasmophobia myself, it was merely hilarious.
Oh, I know. I like shit my pants.
You shit your pants? Oh, because it's ghosts and you're like really terrified of ghosts, right?
Super terrified
ghosts. Yeah, okay, yeah. Then it's really not a great idea. Maybe we should make it a channel points redemption or something.
Cool.
I saw the delay in your face. Asshole. I had to play Blair Witch fucking hell.
Yep.
Anyway. Chilling games, Phasmophobia is not one of them. That was your point.
Yeah, no, for sure it's not. Like, the type of game that the coziest, most chill self-care game I have ever played was a Sunday morning. I had a whole pot of coffee to myself and I played A Short Hike, and it was like just the absolute definition of self-care Sunday. Like, it was perfect, it was beautiful, it was calming and joyful, and I like left the game feeling like, oh, I don't know, like just I'd had a 1 hour massage or more. Like,
nice. It was
just really, you know, cathartic and soothing and healing, and like I've never experienced self-care through a video game to that degree, like that level of comfort. It just blew my mind. It was just like, wow, games can be medicine.
I mean, and we figured out that games can be medicine, right? Like, shortly after that or before that. I still remember you playing that. It was at the very was it even on your own channel back then, or was it already on that one? I don't remember.
I didn't stream it. It was just me.
Are you sure?
Positive. Just me. Just me and my cup of coffee.
Did you try it once after that because you enjoyed it so much?
Nope.
I have a literal vision of it. Like, I see you in my front of, like, you know?
That's just how cozy it was that I burned an image from my brain onto your brain.
No.
But no, I've never streamed A Short Hike.
Mandela effect? Is that a thing, Tom?
It's a thing. Yeah. Do you know the Mandela effect? It's when you have a vivid memory of something that happened, but it didn't happen. Like, it's called the Mandela effect because people thought that Nelson Mandela died in like the 90s and he only died a few years ago.
Oh.
And then there's also like, there's an American children's book called I don't know if it's just American. I think it's over in the UK as well, called The Berenstain Bears, with an E-I-N. And then there's a whole bunch of other people that know it as the Berenstain Bears with an A-I-N. And it's like the theory is that the universe shifted and your timelines collided, and like string theory or something. I don't know. But it's like, it's a thing.
I mean, I do know that the brain basically creates memories. Like, if you experience something, and because other people told you the story about it, your memories start to change based on that. So you don't actually, and then you basically have a memory of something you, number one, didn't remember yourself and necessarily didn't happen. That's why it's something sometimes very tricky in like law situations and shit like that.
Yeah, Debs, they're not actually the Berenstain Bears. They're the Berenstain Bears in this timeline. As far as I know. Yeah, Berenstain Bears with an A-I-N. I think with the Mandela effect, that it's the component of it being a societal thing. It's not just one individual that thinks they remember. It's a lot of people, exactly. Exactly.
Collective memory, basically.
Well,
which is not memory in the end.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It is definitely a weird one.
There are so many fascinating psychological things going on. Because I mean, we only take like 10% of our brain capacity, right? Like, we only use 10% of our brain capacity, so fuck knows what it's otherwise doing. I don't know, but sure.
Culturally weird spellings of common names. I don't know.
I mean, but then it's also language, and it stems from something, and some things that written differently in one language and then they are in the other. I mean, Charlie says he's only using 1% of his brain at best, and that's absolute utter bullshit, Charlie.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's... Yeah, no. No.
But what other practices, what other things that you would categorize as geeky do you do for you for self-care?
I read. And, like, reading is pretty... I don't know, it's like, it is geeky, but it's also not geeky, totally depending on what you're reading. But what I'm reading right now, and I'm finding it's like really, 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 really beneficial for me, is like cozy mysteries. Because I don't really have to think about them, and my brain is obviously in overdrive all of the time with everything going on in my life. And I'm just like, yeah, so a cozy mystery is just fantastic because I don't have to think. I just can read and enjoy it, and I don't need to worry. And this book that I'm reading, or this series right now, is it's about like a 60-something-year-old widow who's moved to England from America. And she has great hats. Like, she's just obsessed with wearing hats. Like, hats with pheasant feathers, hats with crochet feathers. Like, she every time has, crochet like, feathers. Hats. Yeah, just, like, she's just the hat lady. And that's the reason why I started reading these books. Because the, like, Amazon, it was a free book on Amazon. It was, like, she's got great hats. And I was, like, I'm in.
That was, the hats was all it took.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, cozy mystery. I like mysteries. It's an old lady wearing hats. Hell yeah. I am in. but like, honestly, in the last kind of month and a half, I've read 6 of the 10 books. Like, I'm just reading them one after the other because I'm just like, yes, thank you. Like, this is fantastic. And I have looked into it. The author of these books, she started writing when she was in her mid-60s. The books came out in the 1990s. The woman is like almost 90 years old now.
Nice.
And like, I don't think she's like putting out books anymore, but I was also like, how cool is this that like this woman started writing at that stage in her life and has like, she's put out so many books. And I'm just like, this is so wholesome. Like, this just makes this series even better.
Oh yeah, I think it's amazing. Like, because who the fuck knows what she did like the all her life before, right? So she's just one additional proof that fuck this. If I want to write a novel and I haven't done so in my life, I don't need to be 20 or 30 or something to do something like that. I can be 60 and over and just write amazing fucking books just because I want to and because exactly. I enjoy it. Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yep, I agree. So yeah, that's my like my kind of other current self-care thing. What about you?
I mean, the my problem is recently that because of all, well, recently, and when I say recently, it's obviously not very recent, because I am in this stage for like months on end anyway. So I have like a very, like, I get to the end of the day and I know that my brain is not capable of anything anymore, right? So I also have, like, my attention span doesn't go through, I have zero attention span anymore, especially in the evenings. Like, I already have, like, zero attention span now and during the day, but it's even shorter in the evening. So it's also getting progressively worse for me to watch something, like, to start a series that I don't know yet. Because I also can't bring up the emotional labor to get to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to remember all their names now. I need to know who they are. I need to know what they're doing. And it needs to be kind of really good for me to get into it, right? Or so flat that I don't need to get super invested in it. So what I started to do again, and that was yesterday, and it's pretty ridiculous, but that's like something that is just soothing my absolute soul, is I started to watch Grey's Anatomy again. Because
I knew you were going to say that, yeah, and I love it.
Because I know it so well. And I've read that, not very unrecently actually, that people who have anxiety, and I wouldn't like necessarily calculate myself to that, but like there is a lot of shit going on in general. So I think we all have some kind of baggage that we carry, but especially people with anxiety often rewatch old shows that they already seen because it calms them so much. And I do think that's what it does. Like, I do think for me, because I don't need to know who they all are because I already know them. It's like I know what necessarily is coming. That doesn't mean that I haven't forgotten things, because I obviously forgot loads that I've already seen, so I can't like super predict everything. But it's just like, because it's so, I can just lie there. If I fall asleep, it's fine. Because if I start to something, if I start something new and I fall asleep, then I have to go back. I need to watch it again. But it doesn't fucking matter. Because I know it already, right? So I can continue wherever I ended. When I fall asleep, I fall asleep. And I have zero pressure doing that. And so I think, yeah, and Deb says that makes a lot of sense. Friends is her go-to show when she's anxious. And yeah, I do think that's what series also do to you. And I mean, it's not that the topic of the series is like super easy and super, super happy-go-lucky all the time. I mean, there are a lot of deaths and shit like that, and a lot of heartache and all of that in Grey's Anatomy. But it's just because I know it. I just constantly go back to it. And I catch myself watching things that I've already seen before. Like, just watch a Marvel movie again. In that moment, I don't care that it's a 3-hour-long movie. If I fall asleep, I fall asleep because I know it already, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm... Yeah, I watch animated movies, but also the ones that I have already seen, right? So I can't... The other day I started Coco again and watched Coco next to while I was working, and there was no stream on or anything. So I watched Coco because I've already seen it before. But there are so many other movies in Disney Plus and in Netflix that I would be like, oh, that would be interesting, that would be interesting. But I can't get myself to watch them because I'm like... I don't have emotional strength left to get to know anyone there, even if it's just somebody who is in an animated film that I've never seen before. So that's just really, so it's really the old things that I've already seen that I go back to just allow myself to not give a fuck in that moment, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I can absolutely understand and see why, like, that's something that people with anxiety do. And like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you have anxiety because mm-hmm. that's something you have to determine for yourself and you say you don't, so therefore you don't. But like, I can see the comfort in that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially with everything going on right now, there is, you know, there's a lot of comfort in it. It's like watching game shows, right? Like, because there's no need to know anybody's name. You just watch and answer trivia or whatever it is, just laugh, because the only person you need to know their name is the host. Mm. No, you don't, there's like no care for anybody else. And it's, I can see the appeal to it.
And like why they're so popular. Thing?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you watch your regular TV station?
Me? No. Okay. My parents and my in-laws. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of game shows on. A lot of game shows on.
Do you feel there are more game shows on now than they were when we were smaller?
I think younger? So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that there's different types of game shows now. And like, but then most of the ones from when we were younger are also still there. So like, mm-hmm. I definitely think that there's more, like, you know, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are there for forever. But now we've got all these new ones as well, like joining in.
Interesting.
And yeah, I never considered like game shows as a form of like self-care, but in this kind of theme of not having to learn what people are, like, you just need to know who Pat Sajak is, you know, and
yeah,
off you go.
Also, I feel kind
Mary
of
Mary from Boston.
Yeah. and low-key some kind of puzzles, like smaller puzzles. Also, just, you don't necessarily have to know the answer when you watch a game show. You don't necessarily have to know the answer. You can figure, like, the people there can figure it out, and don't necessarily have to get involved into it as well. But I personally sometimes, and not when the day has been specifically rough, but I did enjoy the odd puzzle game on stream, for example, just to be like, to get this, because puzzles for me give you, not when they're like super complicated, but when they're like so solvable, then you get these small boosts of confidence because you solve the puzzle. And for me, that's something that I otherwise usually don't get. Like, just, and I have these 2 seconds of, I am the best when I solve something, which I don't otherwise at all have. So that's just what also kind of helps to like feel a bit better about yourself.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I play a lot of puzzle games, a lot of mystery games, and like, when I solve something, it's like, I'm so fucking smart. And it is like that, you know, validation. And like, it's something so, it can be really, really minor, but you're like, yeah, if I can do that, I can take on the world.
Or I mean, the Nancy Drew games that you played, I would have rage quit those 100% because I'm like, I cannot. But the Zelda has all the dungeons. Those are ones where like, this is something I can like easily do. And little campfire that I played, or last campfire that I played, that was also like the cute little puzzles with cute little animation, and everything is just adorable, and you solve things, and then you just also like get this push. And Deb says, since the Panini, she has also gotten used to having Twitch on while working. I even turned them on at work now. She just lowers the volume. And that, for me, has also been huge. In a year where you didn't see anyone, and I've worked on my own, like, I've worked from home before, obviously. So it's not that this entire situation was, like, super unknown to me. Like, it was not that all of a sudden I went from seeing 20 people a day to seeing 0 people a day. That was not the case at all. So I was already, like, a good 2 years in? 2.5 years in? 3 years? I don't even know. Fourth year? Yeah, three years in or something. Anyway, doesn't matter. too much maths. So I already was, like, kind of working on my own all the time. And Amanda, Tom, and I have, like, these regular things where we did things together, because otherwise it's getting really lonely. But now that you didn't really see anyone at all, like, you had the, like, if you have a partner, well, that person's there, but you didn't go out, you didn't have the conversations with other people, you don't go for coffee and see people outside, and I think I'm, like, on the brink of, like, between extrovert and introvert. I think working from home made me more introverted than I initially was, for sure, but I definitely have a lot of extrovert traits as well, that where I kind of do need people, and I noticed it when we met some friends, some of Weirdo's friends, which are also my friends, but like they're initially his, anyway, and we met them just very recently, and that just when we were driving home, I was telling him that is really what I needed, right? Just sitting there chatting to other people, like having a good time, and it's just, and that was something that Twitch in that time really also gave me, where I have like something on while I'm working, which is like became my, basically my coworker that I can just shout through the room at, and then that I hear the voice from, which just totally kept me sane during that time of the pandemic. And I'm really, like, generally really grateful for that something where we landed in the end. Because otherwise, I don't know, I feel it would have just been so much worse. And it already wasn't that great, right? But it would have been so much worse.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Twitch has been, for me, not to the same extent as it was for you. But it's been such a necessity over the last year. Like, I think before I had to go back home to Canada, like, I was really appreciative of it and I was a lot more active. But then being, like, out of the Twitch community again, really, for, like, 7 months, it's kind of put me back in a space where I'm like, I like to be there, but I just like to lurk. I am a serial lurker. But I appreciate just, like, hearing somebody else, somebody that's not my voice, somebody that's not Tom's voice, like, just hearing somebody else's voice. So if you see me in a stream, like, 9 times out of 10, I'm lurking, like, hardcore lurking. Don't talk to me.
Did you say don't talk to me? Don't talk to me. I mean, lurkers don't necessarily like to be called out that they're lurking. So it's, and they are the foundation of every stream. So,
But yeah. So that's, yeah, Twitch is a very real thing. And I think it's been essential for so many people this past year, like more so than any other time. Just.
Yeah. Jinx doesn't chat at night. And Debs is a serial lurker too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like other kind of geeky self-care things that I do.
Debs says she still feels weird just popping in to say hi and then being quiet again. I think that's totally fine and totally valid. And like every streamer knows that, if you say you're like a goner, like I generally have a bit of issues when I, that's something I wouldn't necessarily do, right? That's my first message in a chat is a lurk command, because why would I can lurk without announcing my presence, if you know what I mean. So I find that a bit awkward when people do that, but like other streamers like think about that differently, for example. And there was this really nice discussion at some point. But it's also just when you like have a bit of a conversation, say, hi, how are you doing? How's your day? And then I'm going into lurk. For me, that's something different, like than just saying, I'm lurking. So
like I'm leaving you a lurk while I'm out or doing something all day.
Exactly.
Like, one only thing I've ever said is lurk.
Yeah. So
congratulations,
so
do you want a medal?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really kind of how I feel. But that doesn't mean that the lurk is not appreciated, but it's kind of like, look at me here, I'm here, right? Which is fine, and some people need that attention, but I don't need that kind of attention. When I'm not there, I'm not there, right? So when I'm lurking, I'm lurking. I can say hi. I don't need people to acknowledge me because I'm not watching anyway, right? Wibble says at least it's not Dodo or Join or Code or whatever. Yeah. But when people like are already here and then they like chat, and even if it's just like for 2 or 3 minutes, hi, how are you doing? I hope you're having a great day, whatever, and then go into lurk, I think everybody generally knows that it's everybody appreciates lurkers. And that kind of speaks against why do you announce your lurk? But that is more something that I have where I have issues with people feeling the need of getting attention. But that's a different story. But in essence, everybody appreciates a lurker.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so the vast majority of Twitch viewers are lurkers.
Yeah.
Like for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, yeah, it is calming to lurk. Like, and sometimes I'm paying attention to the game, and sometimes I just like the sound of a voice beside me.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel it's also, and that's why it's great that there are so many different streamers for so many different needs out there as well, because obviously watching somebody who is super high energy during your workday, depending on whatever it is that you're doing or whatever, can totally put you off or can be like, so I am definitely one who is more into the calmer streams and more into the where I can just do shit next to it, and then I can go in and out of the conversation if I want to. And if I would have something who is constantly shouting in my ear, I wouldn't be able to concentrate as well. Not that I always am super great at concentrating, but like it's also very stressful. Like I need to be in the right mode to be able to deal with someone shouting a lot. So that's why I'm often, and that's why I just gravitate towards more relaxed streamers, and also streamers who are authentic. Like if I get a nudge of performative action from you, I have already feel like it puts me off so hard.
Yeah,
and I
agree. One thing on Twitch though that relaxes so many people that I know we agree is the opposite of relaxation for us is ASMR.
Oh my god. And that was just Amanda, Tom, and I on last Wednesday. We three of us ended up in a few ASMR streams, and fucking hell, I do not understand. I have no idea how that goes, but Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, it was a lot. The streamer that we found was like, had some kind of noise box where, like, I think she was like licking it or kissing it, I'm not really sure, and like that was all up in my ear, and it made me cringe. And ugh.
I mean, Charlie said, oh, but all the colors, I mean, for you that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Charlie, and I hear her, and I know that somebody told me that, was it you or was it Thomas or was it somebody entirely different, I don't remember, that apparently ASMR does something to people's brains where it feels like somebody is what did I say, whispering into their ear, and it gives them the same sound, and it's like super fat, like the same feeling from the brain. Was it Bayleaf? Maybe it was Bayleaf. And that's why it was probably Bayleaf. And that's why some people are super into it and others are not. I'm definitely not one of those, just having to put that out there.
Like, I'm so pleased that people have that, like, space, if that really helps them. But, like, for me, it's a no.
Do you remember that we had that Brain FM, where there was this this music, Brain FM? Mm-hmm. It feels way too personal for me. Yes, that too. Like, it's very, it feels so intimate as well, listening to the person. And I'm not, I need the personal space kind of thing. Like, I have, like, what do they say in Dirty Dancing? This is my area and this is your area or something. That's kind of how I feel. And it does definitely cross, like, something that is too close to me, where I'm like, I don't want to be in that space that you, like, open up for me. So I don't want to be in your space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my hula hoop. I love that.
It's a good one, too.
But yes, it feels like the people who do ASMR open, like, that personal space up so you can be in it. And I'm like, but I don't want to be in it. Like, don't please don't make me go there.
Yeah.
But as I said, the Brain FM, it's what with these special audio waves that are trying to focus, they're trying to make you focus more. And even that sometimes give me some really small heart palpitations that I can't. I'm not sure if they do the right thing for me at all.
Mm, I know Tom still uses your Brain FM account, so at least somebody's getting benefit from it.
That is very fortunate.
I think that there's a lot to be said for sound and healing, or sound as a healing modality. Back at the beginning of January, I did, I had my very first experience with sound healing, or a sound bath. And it was, I had to, like, lie in a dark room and put headphones on and listen to this, like, pre-recorded audio. Or actually, was it pre-recorded? It was. Or was it? No, it could have been live, actually. It doesn't matter. Of, like, singing bowls and, like, drum beats and, like, the sound. Like, I could actually feel it activating different parts of my body. And it was just wild, but really, really cool. Like, those kind of things, like singing bowls, drums, and, like, song are a lot more effective for me than, like, whispering and scratching a microphone or whatever. Like, sound healing, yes. ASMR touches something else in my brain that it has the opposite effect.
Yeah, for sure. We once were in that spa, the weirdo and I, and they had, like, these floaty beds and some color situation, and also they had mics on these beds here, and they should also, like, super calm us, but neither of us were super calm afterwards.
Yeah, I've heard that that either, like, works amazing or doesn't work at all.
It didn't work at all.
One of a local woman in business that I know owns, like, a float tanks here in Northern Ireland, and, like, she just advocates for them so much. She thinks they're amazing, and I've never quite made the plunge.
No, they are not. Like, the floaty tanks are the ones where you actually sit in water, right?
Yeah. Oh, is that not what you're talking about?
No, they were. I said floaty thing, yeah, but it wasn't, like, in water. And I think if it would have been in water, I would have appreciated it more. Because I do think water has a general, like, super calming effect on me, because I just love water. But that they were just, like, some plastic beds, and they were kind of vibrating in a way, but they weren't comfortable because they were all plastic, and it was kind of cold in the room. It was super awkward. Like, it
sounds like a really unpleasant experience altogether.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be, and we paid for it, I think, as well. And I thought it would have been kind of like that water floaty situation, but in the end, it wasn't. So it wasn't that cool. Maybe I need to Google it again. We're probably not going to go to the spa anytime soon. But anyway, anything water related would also super, super calm me the fuck down.
Yeah, there's quite a surge right now in swimming in the sea here in Northern Ireland. And I'm like, I really should do that. But also, like, that's fucking cold.
Yeah.
But, like, friends of mine are doing it. And, like, there's a local two local swim clubs that like swim in the sea, just like in the two bigger towns where I live. Mm. And I'm just like, yeah, I should do that. But also like, I can't be asked.
Yeah.
But I also know that if I did it, I would feel a lot better because like swimming is like massive self-care for me. Like it's my favorite form of exercise. And like, I know that if I did it, I would feel like thousands better, but you know, effort.
I know.
And also it's really fucking cold.
That would be the thing that would like swimming in the Northern Irish seas probably. Oh my God.
I mean, I do have wetsuits from when I did like live in the sea over the summers, but like.
Yeah. Yeah, I always just loved sitting next to the water. Don't even need to be in it. Like, it's the noise of it and the sound of it that's, like, the best. Yeah. I always wanted to have a house by the sea or a river or something watery. Didn't happen.
Life's not over yet.
Yeah, no, it's not over yet, but it's also expensive and money I don't have.
Mm. Fair enough.
I can just buy myself this fountain and I can put it next to me, but they're, like, so hard to clean, so I'm also, like, practical about it, and I'm like, no, that's not
easy. Get a fish tank with a filter in it.
Oh no, I don't like that. You have to clean a fucking fish tank too. And I'm so
don't put fish in it. Just have a fish tank with a filter.
No,
mine's
like have to clean it eventually as well. It's just annoying. I'm too practical. So much shit that you want in your house. It's shit that you need to clean.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but yeah, I mean, that's like my real big things for self-care right now. I think like the biggest thing for me in the last little bit has been rearranging my schedule and reading Cozy Mysteries.
Mm.
Essential changes, and also Cozy Mysteries are great.
I still love that it's written by an older woman. Mm-hmm. Older woman, as if 60, so old.
She's pushing 90 now, so she's like
pushing 90 now. Yeah.
Or is she 90? I don't quite remember.
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
Yeah.
I want to be as cool as that lady when I'm older.
Same.
Probably not going to write anything. Too much effort.
It's fair.
Maybe I'm going to be a stand-up comedian when I'm like 70 or something. That would be cool.
Oh my gosh, I would go to your show. I would watch your Netflix series.
You would have to write stand-up comedy, though. That's my only problem.
Hmm.
I do think I'm generally quite hilarious, like sometimes, not always, but...
Funny?
No. Yeah. But it's different if you have to write stand-up comedy.
Hmm.
Need to decide on something and then do it. It's too complicated.
Do improv classes?
Oh, shit. I've visited one of those once and I'm not not good at, like, coming up with shit impromptu.
Hmm. I always think of something I could have said like the next day and I'm like, that would have been great.
Yeah. Happens all the time. Happens in so many situations where like, well, or even in a conversation that I had and then like a day later, oh, by the way, what I wanted to say yesterday was said.
Like, sorry that my brain just got really angry and swore at you, but I actually have a much better comeback now.
I mean, Tom did stand-up comedy once and I wasn't there. I'm still super upset there. About
it
that.
It was great. Yeah. I don't remember. Why weren't you there?
I don't remember why I wasn't there.
You just don't love him enough.
Obviously, that's always the reason.
There you go. So, that's my thoughts on self-care. I think it's really important. I think that we all need to do more of it. And whatever it looks like for you is really just really important, and it's hard as it is to actually do it, it's so essential to do it.
And don't let other people tell you what your self-care can and cannot be. If it's binging a fucking TV series, it's binging a fucking TV series. If it's sinking 5 days into Final Fantasy, it's sinking 5 days into Final Fantasy. So nobody has to give a flying fuck about what it is that you actually do. So do whatever makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
That then will be the best self-care.
Yeah, like self-care doesn't have to be bubble baths and reading a book in the bubble bath and practicing yoga every morning. Like, I feel like that is the self-care that gets pushed around on Instagram. It's like, practice self-care, have a bath, do some yoga poses, you'll feel great. And I'm like, that's fucking bullshit.
Journal.
If that works for you,
meditate. Great.
Yeah, like, if those things work for you, that's amazing. But they're not the only forms of self-care out there. And for us geeks, like, we gotta find them. what works for us.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So yeah, this was this week's episode.
Yeah, hope it resonated. We'd love to know what your favorite forms of self-care are. Let us know in the comments of the episode or join our Discord, geekcaring.com/Discord.
And see you again for another amazing episode of Geek Caring next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.